Greetings in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your speaker today is John A. Horn of Atchison, Kansas, and I want to thank Dick Faulkner for that precious hymn that he just sang to us, and I'm sure the speaker can say he too would rather have Jesus than anything. I'm going to read to you, please, from the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53, and we're reading together at verse 1. Now, those of you who have your Bibles handy, you might just turn up this most precious passage and read it with me, or at least observe it as we read it. Isaiah 53, verse 1, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord, that is God Jehovah, hath laid on him, Jesus the Son, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." May God bless the reading of his own most holy and precious word. Now I may say that this prophetic portion will be the language of repentant Israel in a future day. They will likely take this language upon their lips, and then it will, of course, come from their hearts. And at that time, they will turn to our Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm sure their attitude to him will be far different than it was now 1900 years ago, when the Messiah came to be their Savior and was refused and rejected. You know, the first two questions, as asked in verse 1, are very important. They're important not only for Jews, but important for Gentiles. And perhaps you have noticed these first two questions as expressed in verse 1. This is question number 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So that actually you could say that the man or the woman or the person who has believed the report, and of course this the entire report of this chapter concerns a person, and that person is none other than the Messiah, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, it is true that Israel as a nation did not believe. It is true that Israel would not believe in him. They would not receive him as their own. And so you can well understand, even although the prophet didn't perhaps fully comprehend the true content of that first question, who hath believed our report? You see, he was a believer, a firm believer. And Israel, as we have already said, did not and would not believe. And if you were to turn to Romans chapter 11, we read that they were broken off because of unbelief. And so temporarily, they are set aside, but thank God, eventually, they are going to be restored and brought back to himself. When they confess their guilt, their sin of rejecting and crucifying the Son of God, and they will recognize him in that coming day as the one who was wounded for their transgressions, for they're going to ask, "What are these wounds in thy hands?" And his answer will be, "These that I received in the house of my friends." Now, one more thought I want to press very quickly, that in this 53rd of Isaiah, well, to be exact, the chapter should begin in the 52nd chapter. That is to say, the 52nd chapter and verse 13 should be the beginning of Isaiah 53, where we have his servant, and we get two views of him there. We get him brought before us as the one in verse 14, "But as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." That's one view of the Savior, of the Son of God. And, of course, this is the treatment that he received from the hands of his own people. But, you know, in the very next verse, we get another view of him. And that's how he will be apprehended, and that's how he will be manifested in a soon coming day when he comes again to take the reins of power and set things right in this world. He will not come as the lowly one, but he will come as the exalted one. He will come to crush and to put down sin and all who offend and all who have taken sides against him. You might read that for yourself. Now, one suggestion further I'd like to make, that in Isaiah 53, you will find the personal pronouns he, his, and him some 49 times. Now, I think that's very, very striking. And when you come to the New Testament, and when the man who had come all the way from the south, from the Queen of Sheba, had gone to Jerusalem to meet with the Lord Jesus and discovered that he was gone, but on his return, he was reading this 53rd of Isaiah. And he was reading the portion apparently aloud and was baffled at who this person that is brought before us really was. He, his, and him. And when he was joined by Philip the evangelist, he asked him a very important question. He says, "Of whom speakest the prophet?" In other words, who is the prophet speaking about when he says so frequently, "He and his and him"? And so Philip the evangelist had the joy of setting forth at that particular time that the he, the his, and the him referred to the Messiah, who is the chief subject of this blessed book that I'm holding in my hand, the Word of God. And he could say and did say when he was here in the volume of the book, "It is written of me." And so the Word of God has as its chief subject our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to point out, if you have your Bibles there, a few things that I think are very striking and outstanding. Now it isn't likely that we'll be able to cover all and to point out all that's in this chapter. No one could do that. And at least what's on my heart. And so I'm going to point out to you that in Isaiah 53 and verse 3, we have the personal sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is to say, the shame and the indignity that was heaped upon him by way of misunderstanding, because he was misunderstood when he was here. There were those that actually doubted whether or not he was the Son of God. And then in verse 4, we have his sympathetic sufferings brought before us. For you know, he was tender. He was compassionate. He was loving. And you can see him again and again as he's depicted and brought before us. His sufferings, his sympathetic sufferings. Think, will you, as he meets that poor woman, the widow of Nain, who had lost her son, her only son, and he was being carted off to be laid away by kind and loving hands, when the Lord Jesus Christ showed his power over sin and over death and stopped that funeral procession and restored to this widow her soul support, her only son, and he did it by the word of his power. Now, those were sympathetic sufferings that he passed through. And then you can see him at the grave of a Lazarus, too, where Mary and Martha were weeping over the loss of their brother, too, the head of that home where Jesus had frequently resorted. And so when Jesus goes to the graveside and he truly sympathized with Mary and with Martha as to their great loss, then we see Jesus weeping as he stood over that grave. Jesus wept. Now those were sympathetic tears that were shed by my Savior. And again, we see him weeping over the city of Jerusalem when he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee together as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings. Now these were sympathetic sufferings. Now I'm going to have to stop, but in the will of the Lord, in a message that follows, we're going to point out the vicarious sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered for sinners, and he suffered for you. Now we want to ask you to read this chapter through once again and look for what we've pointed out and then for what we expect to point out in a broadcast that's to follow. This is Good News Hour, and your speaker has been Johnny Horn of Atchison, Kansas. Now, friends, if you'd like to gratify us, please drop us a line to the following address: Good News Hour, the station to which you are now listening, or to John A. Horn of 817 South 7th Street, Atchison, Kansas. We want to be of real service to you, and it is our privilege as well as our responsibility to be faithful to you in proclaiming wholeheartedly the word of the living and true God.